All right, so I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about local wellness policies in schools, but I am going to talk about them in the context of policies in the cafeteria that may relate to some of the things you just heard about. And I have no relationships to disclose. So actually, Dr. Shrieky is going to give a lot more background later on in the session on what local school wellness policies are. But just for some brief background, the definition of a local school wellness policy is a written document that guides a local educational agency or school district's efforts to create supportive school nutrition and physical activity environments. And these wellness policies apply to any school that's participating in the National School Lunch or School Breakfast Program, which reached around 30 million children in 2014. So they can have a lot of reach. And these policies are important to look at because they're mandated by federal legislation, first by the Child Nutrition and Weight Reauthorization Act in 2004, and then the Healthy Hunger for Kids Act in 2010, and now most recent debated legislation that authorizes these programs. So as I said, we were interested in looking at the policies that relate specifically to the nutrition environment in schools, and those policies relating to the eating environment in the cafeteria, how healthy food is promoted, what kind of healthy role modeling there is, and then how food service staff are involved in nutrition education. And we looked at these factors specifically because we found in some other research actually that factors in the cafeteria and the nutrition environment can have a pretty important impact on what young children eat, and particularly on their consumption of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. So it's important to look at how these policies might be implemented in the cafeteria because it could relate to consumption. So the objective of this analysis was to examine administrator perceptions of school wellness policies and then what those policies actually look like as implemented in cafeterias, in order to identify the policies that might not be effectively implemented, and then be able to discuss some barriers to implementing them. So the data that I will present to you today is actually drawn from a much larger evaluation of the Food Bank for New York City's Cookshop program, which is a classroom-based cooking and nutrition education program. And we collected a wide range of data on plate waste in elementary schools, as well as nutrition environments and knowledge of nutrition for young students and parents. And we collected this information in 2013 during the baseline evaluation, and we gathered it from 26 different public New York City elementary schools. So among these many different tools we used to evaluate nutrition in schools was a principal or school environment survey. And this is what we use to measure what principals or vice principals thought about the policies being implemented in their schools. So we surveyed 26 principals or vice principals from those schools, and we asked them to rate their how they perceived the implementation was for 25 different nutrition and wellness policies. And we selected policies based on the CDC's School Health Index, which is an evaluation tool that schools can use to measure local wellness policies. So we asked them to rate these policies based on whether or not they were not in place, not being considered at all the way to fully in place. And then we assigned a score and gave each school an overall wellness policy score. Second, in those 26 schools, we also surveyed cafeteria workers just to get a sense of what they thought of, in particular, policies relating to their involvement in nutrition education. And out of those 78 cafeteria workers, 35% were cooks or kitchen staff, 10% were food service managers, and 55% were lunch aides or helpers who would actually be in the cafeteria in the lunchroom. And then finally, to look at what these policies might look like in the cafeteria, we went into 10 schools out of those 26 during the lunch period at baseline, and again, measured a range of things, including a plate waste study to measure consumption, but we also captured what the cafeteria environment was like and measured five different cafeteria environment factors relating to some of those school wellness policies. And those included the noise level, how noisy it was in the cafeteria, what the seating capacity was, and if it was overcrowded, who was supervising the students, and if there was any healthy role modeling, especially of healthy eating habits, how much time students had to eat lunch once they sat down, and then also we observed if there was any sort of promotion of healthy foods in the cafeteria during that period. So first I'll just talk briefly about the results that we collected from among all 26 schools, and then I'll go into more detail on the 10 cafeteria observation schools. So overall, again, I mentioned briefly that we gave each school an overall wellness policy score. So the average policy score was 55.4, but the range was 34 to 75, and 75 was the maximum score possible. And the policies that were most likely to be rated to be in place were to provide a pleasant eating environment, and there's more to that policy. It kind of relates to the noise level and crowding, as well as having enough time for kids to eat. And so the other two policies most in place were to have at least 20 minutes for lunch and at least 10 minutes for breakfast. And then, however, about 40% of the schools that we surveyed in had no policy in place that related to offering healthy eating or weight management programs for staff, and they had no policies in place that mentioned offering healthy snack options and vending machines, school stores, concession stands, and a la carte lines. So I'll just briefly touch on what we found with the food service survey. So when we asked administrators from all those 26 schools about if they had any policy relating to making sure that food service staff collaborated with teachers to reinforce nutrition education, in 7 schools, they said there was no policy in place, and in 10 schools, there was a policy partially in place, and then this is cut off, but 9 schools, school administrators said there was a policy fully in place that related to this. So we weren't able to actually observe food service workers, but when we talked to them, about 85% of cafeteria workers said, yes, the cafeteria should be involved in nutrition education. Which was good to hear. However, they mentioned that there are some significant barriers to making sure that the cafeteria is involved in education. And the top barriers that they mentioned were just that there weren't enough staff, there wasn't enough time, there wasn't enough administrative support, and then maybe there wasn't enough money. And some of these weren't really surprising to hear, having worked with cafeteria workers, but important nonetheless. So switching over to 10 observation schools, and again, these are out of the total 26 from the evaluation. The average wellness policy score in those schools was 52.9. And then we also just quickly collected some demographic data using the New York City School Quality Reports, which is annual surveys of the schools. So the average percent of the student body that was an ethnic minority was 96.8%. The typical principal in these schools had been around for around 6 years, and about 80% of students were eligible for free lunch on average in those 10 schools. Okay, now turning to the specific wellness policies in the cafeteria that we were able to observe. The first one would be, does your school provide a pleasant eating environment in their cafeteria? And Among all 10 schools, the administrators said there was a policy at least partially in place to provide a healthy eating environment. And when we went in the cafeteria, 8 schools had a seating at less than 75% capacity, which we determined was not crowded, but 2 schools had over 75%, so it was getting kind of crowded. And the noise level was controlled in only 4 of those schools. So although there was supposed to be a pleasant eating environment in some cafeterias, we saw that it was pretty loud and it was pretty crowded. Second, we asked administrators, is there a policy in place to give students at least 20 minutes to eat lunch? And again, all administrators said there's at least partially a policy in place. And actually, when we went into the cafeteria, we measured that in all 10 cafeterias, students had at least 10 minutes, or at least 20 minutes to eat their lunch. However, we also found that in 4 of those cafeterias, there was still less than 30 minutes available for students to eat lunch. And given some recent evidence that I've been reading and that we've been finding in our other research, 30 minutes might be a better number to, if you're looking at consumption of healthy foods, students may need more than 20 minutes. So I'd ask, is 20 minutes really the policy that we're looking at, we should look at? So then we asked, does your school regularly promote healthy foods to students? Again, you know, there was more schools that had this policy only partially in place, but all 10 schools said there was something in the works, at least. And then in the cafeteria, we saw that, you know, yes, there were in all 10 schools, there was some sort of marketing of healthy foods, mostly in the form of posters. But then we also had some of our research assistants check to see if there was any nutrition information posted on the menu that was a little bit more detailed than just a poster. And they found that there was only nutrition information available in the cafeteria in 2 of those cafeterias. So there is some healthy marketing that we saw, but it wasn't necessarily consistent as to what was being presented to students. So then finally, we looked at if there are policies in place that encourage staff to model healthy eating habits. And our team actually focuses on the youngest elementary students, so those who are 6 to 8 years old. So, you know, we were curious to see, for those younger students, is there not only someone in the cafeteria who can help them eat, but is there someone who is showing them what it is to eat a healthy meal? And so unfortunately, in 4 schools, the administrators said there's no policy in place that relates to healthy modeling healthy eating habits. But there were 2 that said yes, we had a policy fully in place for this. And this is what we saw in the cafeteria, at least as regards to teachers as the role models. So although there were 6 schools where a teacher was present in the cafeteria supervising students, in only 1 of those schools was a teacher actually eating around the students. And I just want to note that there is, as I understand, something in the New York City schools teacher contract that actually make sure that teachers have their own separate time to eat lunch. So it's, I think it's something to consider in other school districts that have that in the teacher's contract as well. You know, we were interested in looking at teachers as role models, but they may not always be the best available role models. So I think we should ask who else can we turn to if we're looking at healthy role modeling. So in conclusion, as you saw, it wasn't necessarily consistent, you know, agreement between what was perceived to be an implemented policy and what we saw in these 10 schools. But, you know, we did find some interesting things. First of all, that, you know, there's some disconnect between what the administrators think is happening in the cafeteria and what cafeteria workers perceived. As I mentioned, the cafeteria workers said they need more support from the administration in order to get more involved in nutrition education and help to make those policies effectively implemented. Second, despite administrator beliefs, there were still some policies that weren't that well implemented in the cafeteria, and this we saw especially in terms of the pleasant eating environment, which understandably, in a cafeteria full of young children, it could be hard to really control the noise level, and that's understandable, but it's something to look at because, as I said earlier, it can relate to consumption. And then finally, there were just some policies that were, you know, maybe recommended, but not in place, and the principals were aware of this, and that's what we saw in the cafeterias, and, specifically with teachers as healthy role models. So that's just a brief, just a picture of what these wellness policies look like in New York City elementary schools. So I would ask that you keep that in mind later on when Dr. Shrieke is giving you a more broad view of the state of school wellness policies in the U.S. Thank you.